It's been good. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that you chose to be here today. I'm all to pieces. My shirt's messed up. I got snot coming out everywhere. My wife just told me now my shirt's coming out. It's his shirt. Is my shirt? What's wrong with my shirt? Okay, is it okay now? Am I all right? Okay. So you got mad at me yesterday for the way I blow my nose in front of people? Yeah, oh my gosh, it's killing me. Well, good morning, and I'm glad you made Memorial Weekend a time to be here in the house of the Lord. I welcome you. Welcome friends of ours, Fred and Judy Reynolds. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us here today, and all of you that chose to be in the house of God this morning. I want to speak on a story in the Bible that I've never spoke on before. So this is fresh bread today. Are you ready? I've never spoke on this before, and I believe the Lord will bless you and encourage you today. The title today is Finish What You Started. Look at somebody and say, Finish What You Started. Let's pray. Jesus, be glorified this morning. I pray, Father, that that no flesh would get in this thing, that it would be all you. Be glorified, God, as your word comes forth. I pray you would anoint it. Prepare our hearts, God, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. How many in here today, by a raise of hands, say you're a good fit, you're a good starter, but you're not a very good finisher? Come on. How many started diets that you've never finished? Look at how many started a lot of things that you've never finished. There's something wrong with Ronnie's arm back there. Ronnie's arm can't go down. We start a lot of things. We start a lot of things, but sometimes we're not the greatest finishers. And I'll be the first one to stand in line with that. Sometimes we start projects, we start things, but we're not good finishers. But today I want to talk to you about finish something that God has started in you, all right? Finishing something that God has started in us. The main ingredient inside every Christian that will empower us to finish strong today is, and we're going to discover this great power. Again, like I said earlier, we are in a spiritual battle. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with that statement or not, whether we believe it or not, we are in a spiritual battle. Please turn on the news for a moment. You'll see shootings and you'll see lawlessness and you'll see different things that always come against. There's always a fight between good and evil. It's true. There's a constant fight for our faith. There's a constant fight for the man and woman of God. And so I want to look at a story in the Bible about a man that is never talked about. What is one guy that we never talk about in the Bible? Shout out a name. They don't talk about him, right? So there's a guy in the Bible that is hardly talked about, and his name is Zerubbabel. How many are going to name one of your children Zerubbabel? That's a good, solid name right there. We'll call him Z for short. And so here's Zerubbabel. And so God gives Zerubbabel an assignment that seems very overwhelming, and I want to talk about this. I'm in Zechariah chapter 4, okay? And so now I want to give you some background who Zerubbabel was and where did he come from and why did God use him to do this amazing thing. So I want to go back in time when Israel was captive and they were in slavery by the Babylonians and they were in Babylonia and they were delivered from that moment. And so there was a man born there, his name was Zerubbabel, and God gave him this assignment to go ahead and rebuild this temple. Now, you got to understand, Solomon, when he built the temple, it was amazing. It was beautiful, covered in gold. It was billions of dollars in today's world. And so this temple was destroyed, and God gave Zerubbabel, everybody say Zerubbabel, this assignment. And so now watch. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And so God gives Zerubbabel this great assignment. And in fact, it's mentioned in Haggai and Ezra, and Zerubbabel actually was, he doesn't really talk about it too much, but he was actually building the temple inside of the walls that Nehemiah was building. Now, Nehemiah built these walls, and inside of these walls was this temple that Zerubbabel was putting back together. And so here we find Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, and the angel of the Lord comes and talks to him about the layout of the temple and what's supposed to happen from this point. And so an angel of the Lord comes to him, and I'm in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel who talked to me, talked with him, came back and wakened me as a man who wakened out of sleep. And he says to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking. There is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. In the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other is on the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel said, said this, do you not know what they are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then he goes on to say, who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become like a plain. And so here's Zerubbabel, and he's sleeping. And the Lord, and the angel of the Lord comes and wakes him up as a man who was in a deep sleep. And so imagine this, here he is sleeping, and God wakes him back up. I love the fact that God never gives up on us. How many glad that God never gives up on us? That no matter when we look to be asleep and we look like we have, you know, drifted away from the assignment. Because you see, Zerubbabel, 20 years before this, almost 20 years before this, he laid the foundation. He started something. And so now the Lord comes to him again, wakes him up and said, listen, it's time for you to get back to work again. You see, this argument happened even in Haggai when God talked to Zerubbabel through the prophet Haggai and said, listen, it's time for you to get back to work again. And then Haggai said, but the people said it's not the right time. And then he goes on to say this. He says, but is it right time for you to stay in your paneled houses and take care of what's important to you? You see, whatever is important to us, that's what we give the most time to. And that's what was happening here, is that the reason why the temple never got built was that the people of the nation, they spent more time fixing up their personal lives and they were more concerned about the house of the Lord. And so they never wanted to invest any time in the house of the Lord. They didn't want to speak against God. So what they did was speak against the timing of it. And so they said it's not the right time. And so Solomon started something almost 20 years before that, and God woke him up. And I'm so glad that God wakes us up even when we start something, but we're not finishing it. Even when we start living for the Lord, even when we start serving in ministry, or we start, you know, trying to have prayer, and we start our fast, I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on us when even we mess up on a fast. How many in here ever mess up on fast sometimes? It happens. How many times we start off something and we commit to something, but sometimes we don't follow through? And I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on us. And God is saying to the church today, saying this to the world, he's saying it's time for us to wake up. We've been asleep for too long. We started the work of the Lord too long ago, only to let it rest. And there are people in here under the sound of my voice that you started something. There was something that God has put inside of you. There's a dream that God has put inside of you, a book or a message or an assignment that God has placed on the inside of you. Maybe it's not building a temple, but maybe it's somebody that you got to go help. Maybe it's a friend in need. Maybe it's somebody you got to go visit and pray for. What is it inside of you that God started that God wants to finish? And so in that moment, he woke up and he showed him a dream, and he showed him this vision. He says, okay, tell me what you see. And he looks and he says, well, I see these two olive trees. And then out of these olive trees, I see these pipes. There's seven pipes coming out of these olive trees. And I see them going into this, to these lampstands, and there's seven lampstands, and there's two bowls above the lamps. And then the angel said, okay, what does it mean? Ezekiel, you know, and Zerubbabel's like, I don't know what it means, you know? And so now, here's Ezekiel, and he's given this great assignment by the Lord. He's given this amazing moment to rebuild the temple. And it seems impossible because there's so many years and the people don't want to do it. He's got obstacles against him. He's got opposition. He's got a lack of resources. He needed supernatural wisdom from God, and he needed people to help. And then God says one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. He says this to him. He says, thus says the Lord to Zerubbabel. He said, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By raise of hand, how many has ever heard that before? Come on, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Well, see, this scripture kind of confuses me because just last week we talked about what? The power of God. We talked about this power and the purpose of the power. And so when I'm reading this, it confused me because I'm like, well, that word doesn't make sense. If God says it's not by power, but then we just learned about the power of God last week. And if I remember right, Jesus said, I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. How many remember that, right? And so if it's not by power, then what is God talking about? And so that's why it's important to really study the word, to really understand what he's saying, because that word power there, when Jesus said this power, what he was talking about was the dynamite, explosive, supernatural power to overcome sin and to also be a witness. That's the power that Jesus was talking about. That's the power that we want. How many want that power? We want power to overcome sin. We want the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. But the power here that he was talking about was this. He says, not by might nor by power. The word might would mean like if all of us got together and try to push down that wall, all of us together in our own strength. That's might. Or power means your own personal strength or your own personal wealth or your own personal ideas or knowledge or intellect or wisdom. And so what God was saying in this moment was, listen, it's not, you can get an army of people together and you're not going to be able to build this temple. Or, you know what, you can go ahead and have all these plans and all these ideas and architect and design things, but it's not going to come together right because it's only going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, a lot of us, we make plans, but God orders our steps. I love the scripture. It's a life scripture of mine. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he will always direct your path. But somewhere along the line, we try to figure it out. I know I'm like that. She gets mad at me all the time that I try to figure it. I'm a fixer. Like if I see something broke, why attack it? I try to fix it. Anybody else like that in here? I try to fix things and try to think it out instead of learning how to really trust in the Lord. You see, it's in those moments there where we have to learn how to trust in the Lord, because God knew that Zerubbabel's assignment was so big and it felt so impossible to him that he needed to know that, listen, you can have 100 guys around you and try to make this happen. It's not going to happen. You can try to do it in your own thinking. It's not going to happen. But you need the Spirit of the Lord to empower you to make sure that this takes place. Now watch. In this vision, he says this. He says, now what about these pipes? And there were pipes coming from these two trees. These two olive trees, they were going into the bowls. And these pipes were ways to get the oil from the tree to the bowls. These trees and the olive trees represented the Holy Spirit. Anytime that you see the word oil in the Bible, it always talks about the Holy Spirit. And the only way to get the oil to flow properly in my life is from the crushing. And we think that, you know, that this hard thing that we're going through, like God picking on us, but that's where the oil begins to flow. And that's where the oil of God begins to flow in our life, is from the crushing. It's from the oil of God. And so these pipes was going into these lamps. And so these pipes represented a place where how they can get the oil to the lamps. You know, if God can get it through me, he'll get it to me. There's a reason why, and there's a purpose for the pain that we go through. There's a purpose why we go through the shattering and the crushing and the things that we go through. You know, many of us in this room, we can all tell a story. There's things that's been going on in our lives personally. Melody got a story right there on her arm right now, you know. And so she can share a story about how God can still bring you through, even when you have, you know, these accidents take place. She shattered her arm and her wrist, and thank God she got surgery and she's doing much better today. And so we all have a story. We all have things that God has brought us through to produce the oil of God in our life. And if God can get it through me, he'll get it to me. Let's keep going. And so God wanted to continue to remind Zerubbabel that, listen, it's not by might nor by power, but it's only by your spirit. By my spirit, says the Lord. It's the only way to stay completely connected and constantly supplied by the Holy Spirit, to have a constant flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, there are a lot of things that we allow to come in, and I know me personally, I sometimes allow things to come in that kind of clog the pipes spiritually, if I could say. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe every time that I grieve the Holy Spirit of God, I stop the flow of the Lord. I stop the supernatural things of God. I stop miracles, signs, and wonders that God wants to do in my life. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we stop the flow, by grieving the Spirit, by not allowing Him to move properly in my life. These two trees are two things. Are you ready? The first thing these trees represent, the first thing is the Word of God. Without the Word of God in my life, I'm not hearing what God's saying. I'm not coming in agreement with His Word. Without knowledge of His Word, the only way that I could be transformed by the renewing of my mind is by getting the Word of God in me. More of the Word, transforming, allowing it to come into my life. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing from what? The Word of God. If all I've got coming into my mind and into my ears is nothing but, you know, just different things on YouTube or Instagram and different things feeding my soul, then that's all that's in me. That's all that's in me. It's nothing but grief and nothing but anger. But God is saying, in order for us to, allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, that's why it's so important to focus on the Word of God. It's to meditate upon the Word. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall do what? Meditate on it and in it day and night, for then my ways will prosper. Then I'll have good success. It's important to get into the Word of God. Allow the Word of God. You know, pray and read, you know, get into the Word of God. The second thing is prayer. The only way to come in agreement with the Word and pray properly is to know the Word. Because we pray the Word of God back to the Lord. Is pray the Word. Pray the Word. Come in agreement with the Word. This is the way we get the oil of God flowing again in our life. To stay constantly connected to the Lord. To stay constantly connected to the Lord. Are you still with me? Somebody shout, I'm with you. The Lord said, not by might nor by power, but only by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord has always been there from the beginning. Genesis 1:2, it says that the Spirit of the Lord hovered across the face of the deep. If you go to Genesis 2:7, it said that God created man. But he didn't become a living being until when? Until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's in Genesis 2:7. The wind or the Spirit of the Lord breathed upon the dry bones in Ezekiel. Remember when Ezekiel was brought into the valley of the dry bones and he saw the valley and God told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to the wind. And he said, command the wind to come and breathe upon these slain. Because before that, they were covered in skin, the bones came back together, but they were missing one thing. They were missing the breath of God. They were missing the Spirit of the Lord. You see, what I'm not telling you is that the word Spirit is the same word for breath, is the same word for wind. It's the same word that God uses all throughout the Bible when he talks about the wind of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus, when he had his disciples together and he had them and he said, he breathed upon him. He breathed upon him. He said, receive now the Holy Spirit. And they went out casting out demons and preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Why? Because they were empowered by the Spirit of God. Do you remember also when Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? And then not many days from that, 10 days later, I don't know if you realize this or not, but next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And so here we are in the middle of all this. And Jesus, on that day of Pentecost, the Bible says that a rushing mighty wind came into the upper room. That word wind there is the same word for breath. It's the same thing. And so here, that was the only way that the Spirit of God, that was the only way the church was birthed on that day of Pentecost. On that day when the Spirit of God came and breathed upon them. You see, many of us in this room, somewhere along the line, maybe we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But see, there's another place there's another piece, and it's called Holy Spirit. If we're never empowered by Holy Spirit, if we never allow Holy Spirit to move in our life, we'll never experience the fullness of God. You know, people can sing on stage, and I've heard beautiful singers, but then when they have the breath of God inside of them, something happens. There's an anointing in their life. It breaks yokes. It destroys yokes. You know, I'm not about performance. I'm about the presence of God. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. You know, Jake said it this morning as he opened up. He talked about the glory of God, and he talked about Moses. And he said, who will go with me? You know, God, he promised the angel of the Lord, and that would have been good for maybe a lot of us in here. But Moses, he was a God chaser, and he wanted more. And he said, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't even take me from this place. He needed the Spirit of the Lord to go with him. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You want power? You want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life? We stay connected completely to the Lord. Allow the oil of God to flow like that. Allow the oil of God to flow continually in your life. The Holy Spirit is just not all for speaking in tongues. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit speaking. I'm thankful for, you know, speaking in tongues. I'm thankful that there's gifts of the Spirit. And I'm thankful for, you know, when people move in the gifts of the Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit that operate without the fruit of the Spirit, it can become a stumbling block. There's a lot of people that elevate the gifts of the Spirit above the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about what good is it if you can cast out devils and speak in tongues and all these other things, understand revelations and prophecy, but have not love. If I remember right, Galatians 5:22, love is one of the main fruit of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. If we don't operate in the fruit of the Spirit, but only have the gifts of the Spirit, you know, it gets me all the time. Like, you know, I'll be in the drive-thru, and I'll have my Jesus music on, and then they take a little long, and all of a sudden I'll turn the Jesus music off because I get aggravated. Come on, don't act like y'all never get aggravated. And then all of a sudden God begins to convict me. Oh, Aaron, where's the fruit of the Spirit? I know you love the gifts of the Spirit. I know you love to do these things and, you know, do the work of the Lord. But then where's your patience? Where's your kindness? I had to call this one up here a couple of times, right? I called her up one time. I had my weakness, the demonic stronghold of my life, restaurants. It is. I hate it. I confess. And so the waitress come along, and I wasn't nice at all. I wasn't. And I just got out of church, and like she's looking at me, and like I'm like, oh my God, no fruit. Where's the love at? You know what I mean? Why would they want to come to my church? And I was just rude to her. Does this make sense to anybody? Is this too real on a Sunday morning? Come on, we need power in our life. I want the power of God in my life. I get so convicted when I don't see the power of God flow in my life, and I feel like I've got to refer people to somebody else. Here, call this one up. They'll pray for you. Well, then the Lord convicts me. It's like, why don't you pray? Where's your power at? Why you always want to get them to call so-and-so or go to this other place or go to this counselor? What? They need you. Mom, Dad. You don't need the pastor to come and lay hands on your kids. God has anointed you to lay hands upon your own children and to teach them the ways of the Lord. I'm thankful for our children's teachers, but you know who God has anointed to teach my kids Bible stories and in the work of the Lord? Me. It's my responsibility. It's my place to tell them how they have authority in Jesus to cast out demons and they can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's my responsibility to do that. Yesterday, I'm at the car wash with Samson, my grandson. He's my oldest. And he's got this little transformer. And I'm sitting down, and he's just playing with his transformer. And he's talking for the transformer, right? You know how you used to do that when you were kids, right? And so he's talking for the transformer. He's like, I'm Barricade, right? He says, I'm the God of the universe. And then he goes back and says, no, Jesus is God. I was like, yes. I said, what did you say, Bob? He said, Jesus is God. I said, absolutely, he's God. And so it's so important to teach our children the ways of the Lord, that Jesus is God. Is to teach them the ways of the Lord. Unfortunately, our children think we're bipolar and messed up because they don't see the same mom and dad home. They see mom and dad cursing each other and hitting each other and all kind of violence in the home. You know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says where there's envy and strife, which means fighting against each other, every type of evil thing is there. I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual battle. I'm telling you the reason why the Christian family doesn't walk in true power is because we live a bipolar. And if you're bipolar, I'm sorry. Take your medicine. But if you're... It's time that we stop with the bipolar Christianity. It's time that we stop living one way in the church and one way at home. God doesn't want us to leave him here in the house. God wants us to bring him home with us. Stop leaving him in the house. How do we have the power of God and the Spirit of God to move in our life? How does the oil of God move in our life? How is to live a consistent lifestyle before the Lord? Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you're quick to repent and you're fast to identify the things that's wrong in my own life. I don't want the pipes clogged in my life. I want the oil of God to flow. I want the oil of God to flow in my life. Who wants the oil of God to flow in your life? I want the Holy Spirit to flow. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be two-faced. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Doesn't mean I'm not talking about living perfect lives. I'm talking about living lives that are quick to repent, quick to go after God, stay vertical in his presence. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about intimate relationship with the Father. I'm talking about staying vertical with God. Well, Pastor, I can't get along with people. People, they irritate me. They get on my nerves. People get on my last nerve. I want to tell people off all the time. And the only way to have a right relationship with people is to keep this right. When we keep this right, you know what we'll do? We'll apologize fast. You know what I love doing? I love coming up to people that I know that don't like me. And I love coming up to them and loving on them and hugging them and showing them Christ. Come on. There are some of you maybe have to go up to a lot of people, right? But I want to show the love of God. I want the flow of God. I don't want nothing to grieve the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't want nothing to grieve the Holy Spirit of God in my life. You know what else stops the Holy Spirit from moving? Unforgiveness. Hidden unforgiveness in our lives. And we think we've forgiven somebody, but wait for them to come into your presence and you'll know if you've really forgiven them. Unforgiveness will stop the flow of God. Unforgiveness will stop. It will dry me up. Yes, I can flow in the Spirit. Yes, I could operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But can I say this? Don't allow the gifts of the Spirit to... don't allow the gifts of the Spirit when they operate in your life. Don't make them think that you're okay with God just because they're... operating. Does that make sense? Because the gifts still work. The gifts still work in those moments. But sometimes, you know, there are people that operate in the gifts of the Spirit and they think they're okay because the gifts still work, but yet the relationship with God is not right. Are you still with me? Unforgiveness dries it up. Forgiveness allows the flow of God in your life. Living humble before the Lord. Stop walking around entitled and start allow the humility to flow again in your life. That's how the oil of God flows. Say a yes to God. I'm giving you practical ways to allow the Holy Spirit to move. Say yes to the Lord. Say yes. Stop making excuses as to why you can't do something. Start saying yes. Give yourself to the Lord. That's how we see the oil of God move. And can you help me? I want to kind of slow down and close. Let's go back to the text. So here's the Zerubbabel. He gets this huge assignment to rebuild the temple of the Lord. God shows him that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's only by the Spirit of the Lord. It's only by my Spirit, says God. It's only with a constant flow of my Holy Spirit in your life. And then he goes on to say this. I love this. He says, "Who are you, O great mountain, that you shall not become flat?" There's a song called, it's called Never Lost a Battle. And one of the verses in the song is, "Who are you, great mountain?" I don't know what the name of your mountain is this morning. In the same way, this mountain was rebuilding a temple in the middle of what looked impossible. He had people telling him it's the wrong time. He had lack of resources. He had a lot against him. It looked impossible. You may not be building a temple right now, but it might be fear. It might be the past. It might be hurt or unforgiveness. Or maybe it's a new ministry assignment. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a financial situation that you're in. God is saying, "Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Who are you, this great mountain that's in front of you?" That's what I hear the Lord saying over you today. If you want to see the fullness of God, you want to see the oil of God flow again in your life. You know, it's a scripture I love. It's in Psalms that says that God is close to the brokenhearted. You know, I had to come to grips with something. I hear a lot of great preachers out there. And sometimes, a lot of times, I'll compare myself to other preachers and I'll say, I can't preach with this guy. This guy's amazing. He knows scripture like nothing. The way he prays and the Spirit of God comes. I know I'm not one of the greatest communicators. I'm not. But then I think about what Paul said. He said, "It's not by." He said, "I didn't come to you with persuasive words, but I came with a demonstration of the power of God." My heart for our church here this morning is that you don't get sold on any kind of clever words that I may say, but that we all have a real encounter with God, with His Spirit. The scripture says that He's close to the brokenhearted. I admit, I am nowhere near perfect. Since we've relaunched, you know, I think this is our 9th week back, 10th week, I'm not sure exactly. And to be honest with you, I've been scared to death when I said yes back to God. But to be even more honest, I was more scared to say no. So my heart today, to be filled with information. My heart today is to see you encounter the Lord like never before. You know, Zerubbabel, for many years, he stood in front of something that he just couldn't see how to finish. I don't know what you're standing in front of right now. I don't know what mountain you may be looking at. But I want to tell you that it's not impossible. It's not. I stand in agreement with Luke 1:37 said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." We serve a God that still heals. He still hears us. I know there may be some here today that you may feel like you're invisible, like God doesn't see me. Like, does God still care about me? Does he even still know me? Am I important to God? These are questions that so many people ask. Yeah. But today, God is saying, would you just encounter the presence of God? Would you encounter him? Keep this right. Keep the vertical right. Keep the oil of God flowing in your life. If you've got unforgiveness in your life, please let it go today. If you've got hurt and bitterness in your heart, please let it go today. You want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life? You want to see the miracles of God? Begin to look at your heart right now and say, God, is there? Search my heart, oh God, and see if there's anything in me that's not right. What good is it? We give all our things to the poor, cast out demons, and we can preach the greatest messages. If we don't walk in love, we miss it. We don't see we're not seeing the flow of the Spirit in our life. So this is the altar call that I'm going to give today. And it's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I wasn't planning on reading this, but this is my altar call today. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're in here today, you struggle with these things and you need this in your life. And you need this in your life. I want you to stand. Are you ready?